What's going on, everybody? It's Real with Jordan and Dimmy. I'm in LA, Dimmy's in New York, and all the way from Croatia, we have our guest today, Hauser. What's going on?
Hi. We covered all the time zones.
Yeah, just about. just about. So are you based in Croatia, or do you have other like homes or studios that you work out of, like in London maybe or something? Or are you pretty much stay in Croatia when you're recording, when you're working on stuff?
I'm not based anywhere. I just travel all the time. I'm homeless, basically.
That musician
life. Yeah, crazy musician's life.
I mean, if you have to be in a like somewhere for a concert, you have to go. And then if you want to stay, then you stay. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's just what it is.
It's unpredictable.
What does like a classical musician, because I thought about it today when I was thinking about like classical music and just like maybe the difference between someone who maybe plays, I don't know, indie rock versus classical music, even though you have a modern twist on your style. Like, what is like the daily life of a classical musician like?
Do you practice hours a day?
Not anymore. I used to. when I was a little boy, when I was studying, when I was in high school, it was just practicing, you know? But then once the career takes off, you don't have much time for practicing anymore. You just need to tour and play concerts and travel, and, you know, it becomes crazy. Yeah.
You're returning to your classical roots. Your last album, The Player, was this Latin-themed pop album with Livin' La Vida Loca and all these sort of like Latin pop classics. But you're returning with Classic 2 back to kind of your roots. Is this kind of what made you go back to the more traditional classical music after doing that Latin pop album?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm very diverse, you know. Inside of me, there is a serious classical musician and rock star at the same time. And they're constantly, you know, battling inside of me. And classical music, it's always, of course, the foundation. That's where I come from. This is the basis of everything I will always do. And basically, all those genres come from classical music anyway. So classical music will always have a special place in my heart. And I will always continue to experiment and do crazy things as well, you know, on the side. And my shows are very, actually, what's interesting about my shows and tours is that everyone can get to hear everything. I start with classical songs and then I turn it into a crazy rock show or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I was watching some of your concerts on YouTube. They're incredible, like the scope of them and your audience and the lighting and the presentation. And you have these huge horn sections and it's wild. Do you have an art director you work with? Do you have like someone who's always kind of been your person to kind of help arrange all the stage stuff, or do you use different people? Like how do you get from like an idea in your head to this huge stage show?
I mean, it was all comes from me, all these crazy ideas. I mean, I always envisioned myself as this ultimate showman. I always wanted to, you know, make a show that includes everything, that actually makes everyone happy. Classical musicians, the people who come to, because when you go to classical concert, it's only classical music. If you go to rock show, it's only rock music. And my show, you got to experience everything. It's like a whole roller coaster. And I always wanted to make this complete experience where you really get to experience all the emotions, all the moods. On my show, you can cry, smile, dance, everything, you know.
And you tend to get the ladies in a frenzy during your shows at some point.
Yeah, that's
part of the deal. Yeah, yeah.
This is like boy chat.
Boy chat.
Out of all the instruments, though, right? You think about it, it's like what, like string instruments? You know what I mean? But then you think, okay, like why not guitar? You know what I mean? Like, what was it about your instrument that attracted you the most?
Yeah,
I mean, did your parents make you play cello?
No, actually, I was the one who decided to play it. I was a very little boy. I heard it on the radio. And I was like, wow, I heard this beautiful, warm sound. And that was a defining moment. But then later on, I was a rebellious nature, and I always was frustrated. Why the guitar? Why piano? Why everything is more popular than cello? And this is where actually started all these crazy ideas started to, you know, cook in my head when I was a little boy. I wanted to get to attract the ladies with the cello. Why always guitar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
And this is how it started. And many years later, all the dreams are coming true.
Yeah. Crazy. The rock star cellist. Rebel with a cello, I think is what the title you used. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the name of the tour, yeah.
Yeah.
Think of that quote, right? There's like a quote that I think I may have heard in school a long time ago. It's just like 10,000 hours of practice is kind of like what you need to maintain some sort of like some level of perfection. Is that true? Would you say?
I didn't count really the hours.
Have you practiced 10,000 hours?
Who knows how many hours has been? Yeah, but I think, of course, I mean, you really need to dedicate long periods of your life to become master of something. That's for sure. I mean, and I dedicated my whole childhood to become master of my craft. So it was it's like a professional athlete, you know?
Yeah. Instead of in the gym, you're in the practice room.
Yeah. And now it's time to move to gym, actually.
Yeah. 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 I guess you got to do both now. You got to do the gym and the practice room.
What's your do you work out? You know what I mean? Like, what do you do? And what does like a professional, like classical musician do when they go to the gym?
Actually, my shows are so exhausting.
You work out your fingers?
My concerts are like a workout, you know?
There you go.
Because I sweat a lot. I lose, I don't know how many kilos every concert because it's really like a marathon. I do crazy things. I run.
Yeah, they're like 2.5-3 hours long, your concert. Yeah.
Very physical. And I feel like the cello is a physical instrument as well, you know?
Yeah. Very physical.
Yeah, you could have played, you know, the ukulele. It'd be easier to handle.
Maybe I should switch.
Speaking of instruments, I actually started out covering a lot of classical music when I first started my career, and I learned that, you know, obviously classical musicians have really nice instruments, but a lot of them are hundreds of years old and are thousands of tens of thousands of dollars. How many cellos do you have? And do you have like a prize cello that's like belonged to some count in the 1600s or something?
Oh my God.
Actually, there are those cellos that are worth millions and millions, you know?
Yeah, all it's nuts.
Old maker. But you know, I don't even want to play those cellos because I just feel the responsibility. And you know, when you're touring and you just need to be, you will be stressed out all the time. So I prefer not to use those really expensive ones.
Interesting.
I use them when I need them for like important recording or if there is one classical concert, then okay. But on the road, you know, you can lose it. You can forget it in the taxi, in the hotel room, you know?
Yeah. Too much pressure. Yeah, Dimmy's a guitarist, and I've always thought of interesting about it because guitar is the same way. You can have like a vintage guitar that's worth so much money versus just like something you could throw on stage, and you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, on my tour, mostly I'm using electric cellos because it's easier to amplify, you know, because I play big arenas, and you cannot really amplify acoustic cello for these big venues, you know.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Are there like snobs that like call you out for not using like the real deal, you know, Renaissance?
No, because arenas are not meant for this acoustic classical cello.
Sure.
I mean, it's never happened that cellists played arenas. So
yeah.
There is no one to criticize me.
Right.
My friend went to an opera the other day at Lincoln Center. I don't know if you ever been to Lincoln Center in New York?
Never.
There, so it's like a cool place. Like I think they have a few theaters where they have operas and they have like classical kind of concerts. And it had me thinking like about like kind of preserving, right, like classical music. And like, I know you like have a modern twist on your style, but how important is it to you to kind of like keep that style of music alive?
Oh yeah, of course it's important. I admire and respect the tradition as well. I mean, and it's important to educate younger generation, especially for with classical music. They need to know about all those composers and all those masterpieces. Definitely some, that's my mission as well, to keep those masterpieces alive. And this is why I'm spreading as much as I can the classical music and at my concerts, and I'm doing albums like this one. And it's important to do it because young kids nowadays, oh my God, they have so much not a good influence at all, you know? Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to save the world, you know?
That's fine. Interesting is how much like pop music do you listen to? How much rock music do you listen to? Like when you're listening to music on your free time, what do you listen to?
I'm a little bit strange because I only like those old songs, old romantic songs. I don't really listen. Yeah, I don't really listen nowadays music. I'm not a trendy guy. I just like, you know, all these.
No, do you consider yourself a romantic person? Personally, do you consider yourself a romantic guy?
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean,
what's the most romantic thing you've done for someone?
Play the cello.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. That is so funny.
I think that'd be such a baller move because like, you know, as a guy growing up, like rock and roll, like pulling out the guitars, like the move to make, like want to impress a girl. But that, I think that'd be so much more baller to like pull out a cello.
The cello is so much more sensual, you know?
Yeah.
Cello is the new guitar.
Are there any rivalries with other cellists? Like, did you like wake up one day and was like, you know, that Yo-Yo Ma guy, we got to put him in his place. Oh. He's had his time, I need to take over.
Oh, there was no really much rivalry because I mean, it's like no one could ever imagine that cello will, you know, fill up arenas one day, and this is what's happening now. It's like crazy. It's a total revolution. No one has expected this to ever happen, and I cannot believe that I achieved my dreams and I sold arenas all around the world, and it's insane.
Now you've played arenas, you played big concert halls. My question I'm always wondering about a classical musician is there a specific concert hall or place you played, maybe some kind of cathedral that has like the most perfect acoustics? Like what place have you played that has like the most wonderful acoustics?
Actually, on this tour, I'm going to have a few iconic venues. Carnegie Hall, of course, as you know, New York.
Yes.
Royal Albert Hall in London. These are like, those are considered, you know, most iconic places, especially for classical music. So I can't wait to really experience the acoustic there in those places.
Do you love touring America? What's your impression of America? How much, because I feel like, you know, Europeans, I think the stereotype is that Europeans appreciate classical music more than Americans, but how do you like playing America? What do you think about American audiences?
Oh, they're amazing. They're the loudest always.
Oh.
They always so excited, you know, and full of love and standing ovations. And it's always louder than the rest of the world, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought.
I feel like because the rest of the world has like manners. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to Americans, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. We were just talking about how polite Japanese artists Japanese audiences are with one of our guests recently. And yeah, it's a whole different person.
They're more reserved, you know, more reserved. But Japanese audience, it's crazy. They're like, they clap exactly in the rhythm perfectly. Like, you know,
interesting.
It's so perfect. You cannot imagine.
Right.
That's been like the hardest place to tour, like the most kind of like, maybe you're not, I mean, they're probably all your favorite cities, but what's been kind of the most like, any kind of like funny stories from like certain places?
Oh my God. There should be a Netflix original.
Your Netflix show. Yeah.
Many seasons. I mean, where do I start from?
Yeah.
Maybe one day there will be. part then.
Do you prefer, like, do you have a favorite country that you played in, or favorite part of the world?
You know, all those arenas and all those concert halls look more or less the same. So what is really interesting is when you play venues that are like Red Rocks, when you see, you know, outdoor, beautiful nature, you see the stars, or when you play Colosseum in Rome, or, you know, something that is different than usual. This is what inspires you. Or even we played in Hollywood Bowl. That was nice, open air.
Classic. I don't appreciate the traffic. I have to drive past that sometimes. Yeah, the traffic. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, traffic is like in LA. It's always.
Oh yeah. So, when you put together a classical album, since you have such a large, you know, canon of songs to choose from, how do you go about creating a track list for one of your classical albums? This is really
tough. It's the hardest part of the process, because you love all those melodies so much, and I know so many, you know, and you are limited to only, you know, to choose for the album, and I don't really know how we do it. It's like, this is why I'm going to do classic 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 100 in the future, because I have to do all these melodies. They're beautiful. All of them.
Do you already have them planned out? Like, do you already know what are going to be on, what's going to be on 3, 4, 5, and 6?
I mean, approximately. Yeah. I already know a classic 1,000. Imagine the CD box.
Right. Well, you know, it helps out with your label. Your label knows what's coming down the pike, you know. It's nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite composer, or are you one of those people that's like, no, I can't choose a favorite?
Maybe Mozart.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
My favorite piece of classical music is The Planets, Holst, The Planets.
Oh, wow. Really?
Interesting. And so, like Jupiter is probably my favorite piece of classical music.
It's your favorite planet.
Yeah, my favorite planet. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I was a band. I played trumpet for five or six years when I was in school. So, but I was more into like jazz stuff than I was classical, I guess, you know, which makes sense being a horn player.
Yeah, trumpet. Yeah. You like Miles Davis?
Yeah. I was almost as good as he was. Yeah, not quite.
No, come on. You were better. Come on, admit it. You were better than him.
Yeah. Okay. I'm. Yeah. You're right. I am. I'm really good. You're right.
One thing that I noticed about your live show too is your the other musicians on stage. I think for certain numbers, you have different. You know, is it like an orchestra kind of here and there for certain songs, right?
Yeah. He's got horn sections.
How do you go about like choosing?
I have a string section. Yeah. I mean. String section for the first part of the show, all these soundtracks, all this kind of music, and then for second part I have like a brass section for these Latin songs, and percussion, drums, keyboard, guitar, bass, of course. So it's like a whole setup, a lot of musicians.
If you think about like a rock big band tour. You think about like the different personality kind of like the different personalities, right? The singer has a personality that people know about, or like the drummer is like this type. What kind of personalities would you say string players have versus horn players versus opera singers?
Are string players more wild than you would think?
Yeah, who are the wild ones? You know what I mean?
The cello players are the wildest.
Who are the least wild? Who are like the calm ones?
Calm ones. Oh, I don't want to get in trouble stereotype. Here. I don't want to stereotype anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is funny. We think of classical musicians as being very like
proper players,
behaved, and you know, yeah.
I had a friend who played the bass, but like, what would you call it? Like the bass that's like 8 feet.
The upright bass.
Upright bass. Yeah, I had a friend, and he's amazing. He ended up going to Juilliard and studying later on, but he was the most serious personality I've ever experienced. Like I'd be sitting next to him in class and I'd be like, "Hey Cole, like what's going on?" He'd just be like he was just so serious. So I always thought that the bass players from then on were like this very serious type of person. And then I guess, yeah, you're right. Like string players, like guitar players are the ones that are a little bit more like known to be wild, right, Jordan?
Yeah, a little bit.
Who knows? Yeah.
So how are trumpet players?
Trumpet players are a little goofy, I feel like. I feel like horn players in general are more like they have to be told what to do. They have to be reminded of things. They're a little bit like their heads in the clouds a little bit, you know.
I'm not disciplined.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit. Yeah. I actually started out on the baritone, on the baritone horn was what I started out on. Then I went to the trumpet. But when you put this band together, do you personally know everyone? Do you handpick all your supporting players, I guess, or do you have like a sort of like maybe like an orchestral manager who kind of like fills out the spots for you?
Actually, most of them I knew actually.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, it was very important for me to know the key players, like percussionist, drummer. Drummer was touring with two cellos for like 10 years already, so
okay.
It was already part of my life long ago.
When you decided to go solo and two cellos become one cello, was that a gradual progression, or was it like a decision you made overnight? It was like, I need to be my own person, or did it kind of gradually happen?
No, actually, I mean, I was still in two cellos. I was putting out my solo stuff on the side, you know, and this solo stuff just took off crazy. There was actually a demand for me as a solo artist, and it was increasing year after year. So in a way, it just became a natural progression, you know, and it was really surprising because I was, you know, doing those crazy rock shows as a two cellos, and then I was doing my own stuff just like a passion project, you know, all this classical, slow music, beautiful, just for me. I was putting it on YouTube. Suddenly, it was just getting millions and millions of views. Like, it was like crazy. It was unheard of until that moment. It was like, I don't know, now Albinoni Adagio is going to hit 100 million views, which was unheard of for classical music, for this type of music. And I was like, what is going on? So demand was growing for me to do classical music.
You're just giving the people what they want.
Yeah, and I was not aware. I was just doing it for me. You know, I was not trying to reach this kind of success with that kind of music, but it just happened, you know. It was crazy. I didn't expect that.
What's been like the highlight of your career so far? I think you've had like a lot of different, you know, like lives in your own career, but like what's been your favorite part, or if you could like relive one?
Now the best is yet to come, because now actually it's this my first worldwide solo tour, which is like incredible, and I'm gonna play those iconic venues. And for example, in Royal Albert Hall in London, I'm gonna do a special one-off concert. It's just gonna be a classical music actually with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, so this is gonna be a special night for me, because usually my tours are, I'm mostly like a rock star on the tours, but now this will be a special night dedicated only to classical music.
Yeah, I'm looking at your tour right now, and you do have like, you're playing the Ryman in Nashville, which is the home of the Grand Old Opry. You're playing the Orpheum here in LA. Are you a big Vegas person? You seem like your show would translate well to Vegas.
Viva,
oh my God.
Viva.
Yeah, have you ever thought about that?
You're way better singing it than Travis Kelce is. Travis Kelce tried that song, did not work.
I heard it. Yeah.
You got him.
You know, I'm a huge Elvis fan. Elvis is my, you know, he was my how do you call it? Hero of mine.
Your idol.
Oh, wow. A little boy. So Vegas and Elvis was. He was my idol. So, and now I'm Elvis with the cello. I would call it Chelvis, you know?
Chelvis.
Elvis.
Yeah. You could do a whole album of Elvis
songs. I should have my own show in Vegas, I think.
What was that?
Yeah, Elvis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That's actually really
hopefully
smart.
Hopefully, one day I will have my own show in Vegas.
Yeah. Like a resident. Your own residency. Oh my!
I would love to have my residency in Vegas. That would be cool.
Yeah, I feel like that could happen. I feel like that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the album comes out in April 19th. So right.
We need
right
to do that. Let's. I'm announcing it here on your show for the first time, exclusively. The residency in Vegas.
Okay. Yeah. Make it happen.
Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis. And I expect the full like, white rhinestone jumpsuit while you're playing.
So stuff would be so cool.
Yeah,
it's gonna be everything over the top.
Yeah, absolutely. The sunglasses, you need like the Elvis sunglasses, the big Elvis sunglasses. Yeah, I can see it now. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So the album is out April 17th. Do you have any big event planned for the album release? A bit like a live stream or like what can your fans expect for the release of the album?
I mean, I will be on tour during the album release. So
okay. I thought maybe you were like, you take his time off and I don't, okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess you're in your, you'll be, well, you got a little bit of time. Yeah, you'll be touring. So yeah, you said you're kind of like a nomad, you're wandering around, you're not really homeless. I mean, you don't really have like a home base per se. Do you ever get tired of that lifestyle? You're like, man, I just want to have like a wife and kids, live in Croatia, live by the sea, you know, like, does that ever pop into your head?
Yeah, actually older I get, because you know, when you're young and crazy, it's easy, but you know, every year gets more exhausting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Well, you're right in the middle of it now. You have time to relax later on.
Yeah, I mean, now it's time to do it, you know, and then I have all the time in the world. It's all about balance, actually, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Croatia, by the way, beautiful country. I actually edited a food show that was filmed partly there, and the seaside towns. This is mostly filmed in Dubrovnik. You're from the northern part but a beautiful country. Do you feel like Croatia doesn't get enough love in terms of tourist places, in terms of destinations? Do you like it? It's kind of like a hidden gem. Do you like it staying that way, that it's not as popular as Rome or as Paris?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's like we can still enjoy the nature, the beauty, the sea. And yeah, I mean, more and more touristic it becomes, it loses its charm, you know?
They have these, Dimi, and you can clarify this for me, how's it was. They have these like dairy shops, these in Croatia, where you like, there's a big giant like butter hunk and you have like the guy like carves off a piece of the butter for you. I saw that on the show. I don't know if that's something that you're familiar with, but yeah.
Is that true?
I haven't seen it. That?
Okay. It might have been one specific shop that I
guys, when I was like a little kid, like I would eat butter for fun, for a snack.
Just like a hunk of butter, just like a stick of butter.
I would just kind of like take like a knife and just like eat butter like a lollipop, you know what I mean? Like wow. Yeah, I was strange. Maybe that's I have an obsession with milking cows. So maybe really? That's where it comes from too. I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like unlimited butter, you know what I mean?
Oh, so that's why. Yeah, I mean, a flashback of you asking one of our previous guests if they'd ever milked a cow. Because
have you ever milked a cow?
No, never.
Has never milked a cow. Put that on the record. Has never milked a cow.
I had to ask.
Yeah.
One day I will.
Well, we appreciate your time and we wish you luck on the tour. Congratulations on the album. All the women of the world, you can flock to see Hauser. And in America here, where you're doing all the iconic venues here in America during the summer. You're going to do America during the summer. It's going to be memorable. We can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Hauser. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
Jordan, I cannot believe I asked. Can that be a new thing for every guest? I just
have you ever noticed that? You know, and we'll play it. But yeah, so the context is that we had Chapel Roan on the show a couple months ago, who's from a small town in Missouri, and actually grew up on a farm or a farm type atmosphere. And so, yes, that's
the original. So I had to ask Chapel if she ever milked a cow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like our guests are from all over the world. So like maybe what percentage do you think have milked a cow, Jordan?
In very, very little. I think that the percentage would have been higher 100 years ago when people had to like make their own food more.
Yeah.
That's just my guess.
So he's never milked a cow.
I've never milked a cow. Have you ever milked a cow?
No, but I've always wanted to milk a cow since I was like a little kid.
You just like the magic of pulling the udder and having milk come out is just like a thing. Like, I understand. It's like, it is pretty wild to think that like you can just like pull this udder and there's something you can drink that comes out of it. So I get it. God. I totally get it. All right, guys. So we have a little fun new thing here. We're going to play a game called, we're going to play a game called Name That Guest. All right. So each answer, each correct answer, and each choice will be a former guest on It's Real with Jordan and Demi.
Woo! The crowd is roaring.
The crowd as well. And I'm your host, Jordan Edwards. I always thought about it. I could be a game show host. Okay. All right. So question one would be 5 questions. Worth 10 points apiece.
Oh, okay. My God. What are the points equal? Like, what happens if I win them all?
If you win them all, you win a vintage 1957 Les Paul. Just kidding. Just kidding. We'll figure it out. We'll get you a brand new tub of butter with a butter knife so you can indulge. You know, it's funny, Demi, you mentioned that you liked eating butter when you were a kid. I wouldn't put it past you to eat butter as an adult.
I'm like using the butter. I take a little sliver and I'm just like, you know what? I just need to have that nostalgic moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, what's funny is this isn't quite the same thing. I got this weird shadow on my face. Is when I was a kid, I was the kid who would like scrape the icing off the birthday cake and just eat the icing. And now I can't stand, I got to have just a very thin layer of icing. I can't have too much icing. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to the game show.
Woo.
All right. Question one, which guest has opened for Taylor Swift? Is it A, Gail, Royal and the Serpent, C, MXM Tune, or D, Katie Turner? Gail, you got it. Okay.
You're
off to a good start. You're off to a good start.
A, B, C, D, F, U.
Yes. Question two. This is a little bit harder. Which guest has never scored a number one hit on the Billboard Alternative Songs chart? Is it A, Bush, B, Suzanne Vega, C, Our Lady Peace, or D, Everclear? Which one has never scored a number one hit on the Billboard Alternative chart? Your guess is who?
C.
C, Our Lady Peace is correct.
Let's go. Yeah. But all of the rest have. Thank you.
All the rest have scored at least one number one hit on the Billboard Alternative chart. So you're 2 for 2. Good start. Okay, question three.
Okay.
Eurythmics' Dave Stewart produced the most recent original album by which guest? Is it A, Maisie Peters, B, Joss Stone, C, Callum Scott, or D, Cannons?
Man, you guys, I don't know this one.
Take a guess.
B.
Did you say B?
B.
B is correct. Joss Stone is a collaborator with Eurythmics' Dave Stewart.
Okay.
Question four. Yeah, I guess we're question four here. The lead singer of which band played college baseball? Was it Dustin Pesuer of Beach Fossils, A? Was it B, Judah Akers of Judah and the Lion? Was it C, Austin Knight of Water Parks? Or D, Bear Reinhardt of Need to Breathe? Which one played college baseball?
my God, gosh.
I feel like which one seems less likely to play college baseball?
Is Peach Pit B?
Peach Pit was not a choice.
Oh.
You have Beach Fossils, Judah and the Lion, Water Parks, and Need to Breathe.
I feel like it was Judah and the Lion.
Judah and the Lion is correct.
Let's go!
Judah and the Lion is correct. Okay.
I had too much
caffeine. Final question.
Okay.
Which guest collaborated on the track Girls At with Chance the Rapper? Was it A, Travis Mills? Was it B, Coda the Friend? Was it C, Joey Perp? Or was it D, Don McLennan of Brockhampton?
My God. Guys, I feel like this is like life or death right now.
Do, 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 do. No. Want to take a guess?
But like,
there's no shame because you're 4 for 4. You missed one. That's not a big deal. You've already gotten 4 for 4. This is gravy.
All right. Let's start from what it's not. It's not. It's not A.
It's not A. Correct.
And I know it's not D. Mills. I know Brockhampton. I know they didn't collab with Chance, or at least Dom didn't.
It's not Dom.
And what was B and C?
B and C is Coda the Friend or Joey Perp?
Joey Perp.
Joey Perp is correct.
Let's go!
The song Girls At was released in 2017. So, yeah. I was actually going to throw Taylor Bennett in there since that's Chance's brother, but I didn't. So
guys,
yeah,
I researched the guess.
You went 5 for 5. A little assistance on the last question, but you went 5 for 5. You get all the points, and your prize is an imaginary vintage Les Paul guitar.
Jordan, yeah. I have a question for you. What did you expect me to get?
I was thinking maybe 3 out of 5.
Damn.
Well, because I think a couple of them you guessed right.
Yeah.
But I like that you did a good let me ask you this, Demi, were you a good test taker in school? Like multiple choice test questions. Were you good at those?
I was actually very studious growing up and had perfect attendance.
Right. But
I was late, but I had perfect attendance.
But
I was
were
there,
you good though, at multiple choice questions on tests?
How was I good?
Did you prefer short answer or did you like multiple choice?
I preferred short answer because if you give me something like to answer in a short, like written, I can make any.
That's true. That's
you're
true.
You're going to get a
multiple choice are only preferred by people who don't study because they still have a chance at getting it right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I was the studier. Like I was the kid with the flashcards.
So you're breaking that art school stereotype that people who go to art school only care about their music or their art or whatever. You were locked in with the academics as well. Let the record show.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. Yeah. So that was the first episode of Name That Guest. We'll be back next week. I like that. That was fun. That was fun. All right.
New reactions from yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. Maybe I'll pipe in some cheering noises.
What
yeah.
was that? Oh yeah. My God.
All right. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening and watching. It's Real with Jordan and Demi. As always, go to popdust.com for the latest in pop culture and music news. Follow me on Instagram at Jordan Edwards Studio. Follow Demi on Instagram at Demi_Ramos. Follow us on TikTok on It's Real with Jordan and Demi, the whole title of the show. My light just went out, but that's okay because the show is ending. All right. So until next time, we'll see you later.